In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold the man who was dead and who now lives. His heart was stopped, but now pulses with a new rhythm and vigor. His veins spilled their crimson contents all over the Golgotha ground, but now course with a fresh supply of warm, red, oxygenated blood. His lungs were deflated and flat after that loud cry with which he yielded up his spirit, but now they expand and fill with the perfumed, stale air of the tomb. His eyes were closed in death, but now open and squint to take in the sights. His hands had been nailed, but now they spread all 10 living fingers open before picking up the grave cloths and folding them. His feet had dragged lifelessly as his body was placed into the tomb, but now they reach to the ground and plant 10 living toes into the cool dirt. His skin had cooled to the ambient temperature of the stone and dirt grave, but now radiates warmth and heat, though it still possesses 5 distinct wounds from nails and a spear. His brain had been still and dead, but now electrons dance and synapses and neurons sparkle. His stomach, which hadn't eaten since Thursday, growls and suggests somewhat urgently that the Lenten fast is over. Behold, the man, Jesus, God and man, lives. He rises triumphantly from the dead and strolls out of the grave into his creation. And Mary mistakes him for the gardener. It's an honest mistake, really. She was understandably confused. She showed up first while it was still dark and the disciples were asleep, but she probably hadn't slept for days. As soon as day began to break after the Sabbath had ended, she ran to the tomb. When she saw that the stone had been taken away, dislocated from what she knew to be its permanent resting place, she ran and told the disciples. She found Peter and John first, and the words came crashing out so quickly, it's any wonder that they understood her at all. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. They all went back to the tomb, Peter and John sprinting. John doesn't bother to tell us whether Mary Magdalene ran or walked, but when the men wandered away bewildered, she was there. She stayed outside, weeping, grieving at the double loss. First, the one she called Lord was crucified. Now his body was missing. The angels were perplexed at her weeping. Why? Her distress is not wrong. Not part of her honest, her distress is wrong. Not part of her honest mistake. They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Then she turned around and beheld the risen Lord. He asked her the very same question as the angels did. Why are you weeping? And added, whom are you seeking? Of course, she supposed he was the gardener. This was her honest mistake. It's not a mistake to confuse Jesus with a gardener. It's a mistake to confuse Jesus with this gardener, the caretaker of the cemetery. He is no caretaker of cemeteries. In fact, he is quite the adversary to anyone who wants to keep cemeteries neat and orderly, who wants graves undisturbed, who wants peace and quiet maintained. There is a gardener, a caretaker for those things, but this man is not he. There are many caretakers for the cemeteries of the world. Maintaining this cemetery is the peculiar pastime of the world. I don't mean, of course, to tending to real cemeteries or the peculiar business of operating a funeral home. Ironically, the funeral industry thrives from shielding you and your loved ones from the stinging reality of death. First, there's the cutting, draining, embalming, stuffing, plugging, sewing, and otherwise disguising the cold reality of a dead body to make it look as close as possible to the picture you provide the undertaker. Then there's the casket, the liner, the vault, because who wants to deal with the reality of ground that sinks as bodies decompose? And then the euphemisms. He has passed on. She's in a better place. He's watching over you. Heaven needed another lady in its bowling league. Finally, the funeral in the church has been replaced with the celebration of life in the mortuary. That's all exceedingly odd and completely out of touch with the reality that death is a rupturing of God's perfect creation. It's evil. And yet, our culture promotes death. The strong are encouraged to eliminate the weak. Mothers are persuaded that it's more convenient to kill their unborn children rather than shouldering the burden of being a parent. As soon as our elderly show some signs of slowing down, we want to scuttle them off to care facilities rather than take the time to grow old with them. And if our elderly are indeed too infirm to live at home, we do not take time out of our busy life to visit those who gave to us life. Vengeance is yours. Suicide is noble. Divorce makes sense. Happiness at all costs. War is just. Kill or be killed. Efficiency is our idol. And nothing is more efficient than death. The Didache, a first century compilation of the teaching of the apostles, describes the culture of death like this. And the way of death is this: first of all, it is evil and full of curse, murder, adulteries, lusts, fornications, thefts, idolatries, magic arts, witchcrafts, rapines, false witnesses, hypocrisies, double-heartedness, deceit, haughtiness, depravity, self-will, greediness, filthy talking, jealousy, overconfidence, loftiness, boastfulness, persecutors of the good, hating the truth, loving a lie, not knowing a reward for righteousness, not cleaving to good nor to righteous judgment, watching not for that which is good, but for that which is evil, from whom meekness and endurance are far, loving vanities, pursuing requital, not pitying a poor man, not laboring for the afflicted, not knowing him that made them, murderers of children, destroyers of the handiwork of God, turning away from him that is in want, afflicting him that is distressed, advocates of the rich, lawless judges of the poor, utter sinners. Be delivered, children, from all of these. There's nothing new under the sun. Who has not bought into this evil way of thinking, into this culture of death? Repent. Death does not become you. The culture of death is not an American innovation. Though we've made this idealized and idolized morbid production more efficient with every new technology we embrace, it is as old as creation, minus maybe 7 or 8 days. It was a culture of death that drove the first humans to rebel against the source of life, their creator. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Dyingly die, forever be more inclined toward death than life. See death as the unavoidable end to your lives. Kill and fight, destroy both Creator and His creation. You will die. And then what happened? They fled from the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, and they hid, fearing for their lives. The God who had created them with His word, who had scooped Adam out of fresh, fertile Adamah, or earth, who had planted a garden called Eden, and put his humans in the garden to care for it and to tend it, who still had the dirt of his creation under his divine fingernails, having indulged yesterday in the perfect Sabbath of his good creation, now strikes terror into the hearts of these be your own God's rebels. And he should. He is life. They chose death. Adam became the first gardener of death. And the mere existence of the gardener of life made him afraid for his life. Since then, the tension between Creator and men has been a clash of life versus death. But it didn't stop the divine gardener from taking the occasional stroll in his creation, from tending his garden. So it should be no surprise that when the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus, when the Creator took an extended 33-year-long stroll in his creation, he exercised the skill and the patience of a master gardener as he walked the rows. Behold the man who tends the garden everywhere he went, pulling up the weeds of blindness and paralysis, leprosy and death, unbelief and rebellion. Behold the man who sowed the seed of his word, the news of the new irresistible reign of life, swallowing up the regime of death. He promised life, but it would come through death. Specifically, his death. The death of this man at the hands of the caretakers of the culture of death, the gardeners of a dying world. And so, when Mary Magdalene beheld the man who created the Garden of Eden, who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and who was dead and buried in a garden, she made the honest mistake of assuming that he was just another man, just another gardener in all these gardens of death. But he is not. He is a gardener, but of a different sort. So here we are. At the dawn of his resurrection, in the fresh rays of a new day, basking in the glow of life, overcoming the shadows of death, and undoing a culture of death through sacrament and song, beholding the man who rose from the dead to obliterate death's stranglehold on his good creation. Join with Mary Magdalene in her pious mistake. Suppose the crucified and risen Christ, the grain of wheat fallen dead into the grave, buried in infertile ground and broken forth in the new bloom of life, the eternal sower, the gardener of Eden, the new man, to be a gardener. He is the gardener of his new heavens and new earth, the caretaker of the culture of new resurrection life. Behold the man who gives life. Believe in his bodily resurrection and your own, already begun in the waters of holy baptism, but not completed until the day of his return. Behold the man who answers the culture of death begun by the first man by immersing himself into it and dying at its hands. Behold the man whose death has destroyed death. Behold the man, the only man, with the authority to take his own life back up again. Behold the man who emerged from the grave and was immediately confused for the gardener. Behold the man whose resurrection means your resurrection. Behold the man who today feeds you with the only body that rose from death in victory over death. Behold the man, and in him behold yourself, holy and whole, forgiven and free. In him, Behold the man or the woman you are now and will be fully when he raises your very flesh from the grave. Alleluia. Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.